click stream. It's going to play the We Are Live for like a few seconds. I'll turn on the mic and then I'll just point at you when I'll put the camera on you.
Okay, go like this. Hey, God bless you. Welcome to this edition of your Limitless Live broadcast. We're so glad to be back with you. And we got a little bit of a late start, but we're here in Indio, California, and it is raining. And you know, we're not used to having rain here, but the weather is very, very nice. And so we thank you for your patience, all those that are watching with us tonight. You'll notice a little bit of difference in our intro and the things that we're doing, but one of the things I know that you're noticing is that there's no latency like there was before, and so we're figuring that out. And I'm so thankful for our media team, Sister Louisa and Brother Sam, and those that are working so diligently to make our broadcast the very best that it could be. And I'm just thankful just for the privilege of being able to do this broadcast. And even though it seems that right now our reach may be smaller, but it ain't going to stay that way in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're thankful for this privilege, this outlet to be able to get the Word of God to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And the Bible said that despise not the day of small beginnings, for the Lord is pleased or rejoicing that the work has begun. And I was even reading, awesome, hey mama, God bless you. I was even reading in, let me see if I can find it here, and I don't wanna, people are probably tuning in or you know, wondering, we'll get on. If you're on, hey, God bless you, Brother Sam, love you, ma'am. I want to read, if I could find it here, and then as people are getting on, just let us know you're there. Awesome. Thank you for the quality, letting us know how it's looking compared to how it was before. So, yeah, we're trying to get better and better, and we're going to get better and better as the Lord continues to give us wisdom as we move forward in all that He has called us to do. Praise the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians, it says that now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere. And that's the scripture I was actually looking for. Hey, sissy, love you too. And so we believe that this is a tool that God is using and will continue to use to help people. And we want to be, and just in case those of you that are watching understand this, maybe those that may be tuning in, maybe your first time watching this live or even in the archives, and the Lord has brought you to this broadcast, because it's something that you may need to hear. But this is real time. And so whether or not you're watching us on YouTube or on Facebook, which it looks like a lot of people are watching us on Facebook tonight, or on our YouTube page, either one, we see you. And if you comment or you ask any questions or anything, we can actually see your questions or your comments in real time, and we will respond to them in real time. And so what a wonderful tool that God has given us. And I believe, you know, Paul in his day used every modern thing to his advantage to be able to further the gospel. And I believe if he were here today, he'd be using all these social media outlets and everything to get the gospel as far around the world and to as many people as humanly and supernaturally possible. And so we're so glad that you're watching with us tonight. And I want to talk to us tonight about this subject, about being fully persuaded. being fully persuaded. And also, as I'm going to read a scripture out of 2 Timothy, verse 1 and 12. Chapter 1 and verse 12, excuse me. But if you have you're maybe turning there, I'm going to read this out of the King James Version. But if you have a prayer request also tonight, let us know. And if you type in your prayer request or any question that you may have, like I said, we'll respond real time. But we'll also agree in prayer with you concerning any prayer request that you may have as well. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12 in the King James Version. I'm talking about being fully persuaded. And this is what it says. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I don't, you know, a lot of Paul, you may or may not know, but a lot of Paul's writings were written from a prison cell. And so even this writing here, as he was writing to 2 Timothy, as he was penning this, he was letting us know, as he wrote, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He was in prison when he was writing this. And so his thing, amen, says he, we will definitely be praying about that. And the answer to prayer in the first off, and then praying for the move in the smooth transition. Paul, listen to what Paul was writing. Paul, you can say, since he was in prison, was having a bad day, at the least. He was going through it. But look at what he said. He didn't allow that to cause him to waver in who he believed. He said, I know in whom I have believed. Paul said, I don't just know about him, I know him. And that is a huge difference. You got to know God for yourself. You have to experience God for yourself. God bless you, Sister Maribel. So good to see you. Thank you for commenting. And we love you. We love you so much. So Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. In the middle of what he was going through, his confidence rang out that he knew the God that he served. And we're going to give you opportunity tonight that if you may be watching this and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says, he that shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we will pray with you, and you can know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But it makes all the difference in the world. I know in whom I have believed. In the book of Job 42 and verse 5 in the King James Version, listen to what Job said. I have heard of thee with my ear, but now my eyes have seen you. And so that is, it's so incredible that a lot of people, when they're going through what they're going through, they want to talk about, well, I'm like Job and I'm going through it like Job was. Well, you better be careful what you're asking for. First of all, Job lived hundreds of years, and that period of time which he was going through it was only, they say, at the most 18 months. And then after he went through it, and after he discovered things about God, he realized he was saying some things about God that wasn't true. And his mouth was what was allowing the enemy to come in and cause him all those things to go wrong in his life. But he said, I had heard of thee. I heard about you, God. But now I've seen you with my own eyes. And there's a difference between someone that has heard about someone and then someone that has actually seen for themselves. And Paul is writing this letter fully persuaded that the God he knows, the God that he has seen, and the God that he has experienced, and he's fully persuaded that God is able. Paul had seen Jesus and experienced him personally. Remember when Paul was going through, and he was on his way to persecute more Christians, the Bible says as he was on his way, a bright light surrounded him. He was knocked off of his horse, and the Lord called out to him and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul looked up, which was Paul. He looked up and he said, who are you, Lord? So he had heard about Jesus, but he didn't know the Lord. But that day he saw the Lord. And he went, and then Ananias went and prayed for him. And we know what happened to To Saul, God hit him so hard, he knocked the S off of his name and put a P there. And then Paul began to do a mighty work on behalf of the kingdom of God. So Paul had heard about him, but now he had seen him and experienced Jesus for himself. And my mom, which she's watching right now, preached a powerful message this Sunday morning on being encompassed or being surrounded. And she talked about the prophet in 2 Kings chapter 6, 8 through 23. She talked about how the fact that Elisha and his servant were in an area and the enemy had come and what looked like in the natural surrounded them. And Elisha's servant went and said, my master, the enemy has surrounded us. And Elisha, I just picture him coming out and probably with a smile or a smirk on his face. And this is what he said. He said, don't be afraid. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And then he prayed this prayer. He said, God, I pray. He said, oh Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. And then at that very moment, the Bible said that, I believe it was Gehazi, his servant, his eyes were opened. His spiritual eyes were opened. So he saw still in the natural what looked like he was surrounded by the enemy. But when his spiritual eyes were opened, or when he was really able to see for himself, you know, he may have heard when his eyes are open, he said, you know what? I've heard, Elisha, you, all these things I heard about, but now I see it for myself. And the Bible says he saw fiery horses and chariots and the heavenly host, God's army, were surrounding the enemy. And so when it looked like, you know, just like that song, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Oh God, hallelujah. And so he was surrounded or encompassed by the armies of God. And so one of the things that I love out of that, he said there are more with us than are with them, more than, the God of more than enough, the God of exceedingly and abundantly above all that I could ever ask or think. So not only were they more in number, because you got to remember 1/3 of the angels fell. So 2/3 were there. So not only were they remained in heaven. So not only were they more in number, but they were more in power as well. Not including God, which was a part of that equation, which by himself is more powerful than all the powers of the enemy and all the numbers of the enemy. And so they were encompassed by the Lord's army. And this is the prayer that I was praying for you before we even got on the broadcast today. It's found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, and I'm going to paraphrase, but this is what Paul said. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, or your understanding would be enlightened, so that you would know what is the hope of your calling. What are the riches of the glory, listen to this, of the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the mighty working of his strength. And so in the middle of all of this stuff, hey, Sister Connie, God bless you. In the middle of all of this that was going on, Paul said, I'm persuaded that he is able. Paul said in the middle of it, he goes, I know in whom I have believed. His belief in the God that he knows, that he's experienced for himself, was not shaken by his temporary circumstance. Elisha, in the middle of all that seemed like in the natural, it looked like he was in trouble in the book of 2 Kings that my mom preached about on Sunday. But when he saw, you're able to see in the spirit, like, and also like my mom said out of the book of Revelation, the Bible says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and I saw the Lord. Man, when you can see in the spirit, you realize that no matter what the natural circumstance is, that it's not going to shake my confidence in the fact that God is good, that God is going to move in this situation. And this thing at the least is temporary, but the enemy that I see, I'll no longer see anymore, for God is going to move on my behalf. Hallelujah. And so just like in another example, the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, Isaiah at this time, when this was going on. The Bible said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And when I saw him, he was high and he was lifted up and his train filled the temple. And so and what that scripture is literally saying there, if you don't really realize it, is Isaiah was going through something. He had lost someone. In the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord in the middle of a bad circumstance, in the middle of what I don't fully understand. I saw the Lord, and knowing that I got to see him, just seeing him is enough in the middle of the situation. Just seeing him for myself and experiencing him, even if the situation is not immediately changed because of his presence, I have full confidence and I'm fully persuaded that he's able, and he's going to not only get me through this thing, but he's a rewarder, and he's going to give me exceedingly and abundantly above all I could ever ask or think. Angie, just wait. I promise you, it's going to get better. Hallelujah. So remember, Paul was in chains when he was writing this, that he knows who he believes and he's persuaded. We have to keep our faith and our confession consistent and answer every problem with God's word and not with our feelings. I want to say that again. When the enemy tries to come in and try to surround us, when the enemy tries to come in and he tries to come against us and what God says concerning us, we have to keep our faith and our confession consistent and answer every problem with God's word and not from our feelings. Every time the enemy tries to lie or create a situation or circumstance that is contrary to the character of God, you know that we are the God that we are in covenant with. Instead of going into woe is me mode, our response should be, I know in whom I believe. Jenny, I love you. God bless you. Instead of going in when something bad happens, instead of going in to woe is me mode, our response should be like Paul's response in the middle of prison. He said, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Hallelujah. And so I want to show us something here. This is so powerful. I don't know if you've ever looked at this. You know, if you guys would do me a favor, if you guys have heard the story about Joseph in the coat of many colors, if you could put an emoji hand up to say that you've heard that story before. But I want to bring this from a different perspective, if you'll allow me tonight, to show you something that I believe is going to bless you and it's going to encourage you in case you might be going through something. And I don't believe everybody is going through something. But this message may be for you tonight if you know somebody that's going through something, that you can use this to be able to encourage them in what they are facing. Amen. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 3. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 3. Check this out. I'm excited about this. Genesis chapter 37 and beginning at verse 3. Amen. You're familiar with the story. Genesis 37 beginning at verse 3. And I'm sort of jumping in the middle of this. God bless you, Sister Pat. I'm sort of jumping in the middle of this. It says, Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. So the first thing I want us to point out is the fact that Joseph, the Bible says Joseph was loved by his father Jacob more because he was born, he was the child born in his old age. What story does that remind you of? What story does that remind you of? It reminds me of Abraham, where Abraham said he was in his old age when in his body was pretty much way past, him and Sarah, his wife, were way past the time of childbirth when they had Isaac. And so this, the Bible says that Jacob loved Joseph because he was the child that was born in his old age. And so I want to now look at Genesis chapter 37 and verse 31. So if you could follow with me there. And so we're just jumping ahead. And that's why I was asking if, you know, a lot of you had heard this story about Joseph. I want to show you this. Genesis chapter 37, beginning at verse 31 through 35. It says, "Then the brothers killed a young goat and dipped Joseph's robe in its blood. They sent the beautiful robe to their father with this message: 'Look at what we found. Doesn't this robe belong to your son?' The father," talking about Jacob, "recognized it immediately." "Yes," he said, "it is my son's robe." Look at what he did. He immediately went into fear mode. He said, it is my son's robe. A wild animal must have eaten him. Joseph has clearly been torn to pieces." Then Jacob, tore his clothes and dressed himself in burlap. He mourned deeply for his son for a long time. His family all tried to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "I will go to my grave mourning for my son." Look at what he's saying. He's just making these confessions. He would say, and then he would weep. He would go on and say that, and he would weep. And so let me just sort of recap what we just read. So we know that Jacob had Joseph, was very proud of him, gave him that coat of many colors. That coat was brought back to Jacob full of blood. They dipped it in goat's blood and brought it back to Jacob. When Jacob saw it, they said, "Look what we found." They didn't say anything. They presented him with something. It looked very bad. Look what his response was. His response went immediately to the bad. His response, let me just ask you this question, and maybe you can type in this comment when you know the answer. Was what Jacob saw true? Just write in there, true or false, or false. Write in there, true or false. Was what Jacob saw true? No, it was false. So he was brought something, and he was presented this. He said, "Look at this." And he, in his mind, immediately went into fear, doubt, and unbelief. "Oh, yeah, it's my son. This is my favorite son. This, I can't believe this is happening. He got tore up by this animal." And so what should he have said? What should he have said? That's right. False. Right. It wasn't true. So here's the thing. What should he have said? What should have Jacob said? Remember, God is not just the God of Jacob. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. In Hebrews 11:9, this is what it says. It says, Jacob received the same promise. Isaac and Jacob received the same promise that Abraham received. That's right, Sister Connie, false. That's right. That wasn't true. They presented him a problem. He was being deceived. He was being lied to. Now, who do you know that is the author of deception? Who do you know that is the father of lies? That his job is to bring you circumstantially, hallelujah. His job is to bring you the worst news. His job is to try to get you into fear, doubt, and unbelief. But you got to remember the promise. You got to remember the promise that was given. What should have Jacob said in the middle of that situation, even though all the evidence was pointing in one direction? He should have made this. That's right, Sister Connie, Satan, the father of lies, and has been from the very beginning. He should have made the same proclamation that Abraham made. He should have said, "If he is dead, I don't believe he is, but if he is dead, then bring me to him wherever he's at. Bring me to him because I believe, just like Abraham believed, that if my child would die, that the God that I serve and made me this promise has the ability to raise him up again. Death is not the last, it doesn't have the last say on my promise. The God that I serve is resurrection and the life. And if I believe in him, though it was dead, yet shall he live. So that promise that God has given us is, it will last forever. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob made the wrong response. He believed. That's right, Sister Angie. Satan is the author of confusion. And so Jacob made the wrong confession. He lost his, he wasn't persuaded. Fear gripped him and it caused him to lose hope in the promise that God had given Abraham, that God bless you, Sister Abby, that God had given Isaac. And God didn't change his mind after Isaac. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And the same promise, Hebrews 11:9, that I made to Abraham, I also made to Isaac and to Jacob. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 17, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. Hallelujah. That's right, Sister Connie. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17. It says, it was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Abraham, who had received God's promises, was ready to sacrifice his only son, Isaac, even though God had told him, Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will come. Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. And in a sense, Abraham did receive his son back from the dead. That is so good. That is so good. So Abraham, showing by from the word of God, that Abraham pretty much did receive his son back from the dead. But he was already persuaded because of the promise that God had given him. Isaac, he said, Ishmael is not your promised son. Isaac is your promised son. And through that seed, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Abraham knew. Hope beyond hope. When it looked, he said, the same God that caused him to be able to have a child in the first place, which was impossible in his own body, he did not stagger at the promises of God. Hallelujah. But the same faith that he believed God then, he knew was the same. If God can bring a promise out of a dead thing, he knew that even if the promise died, that promise could still be resurrected by the power of his God. He didn't waver. And so even when the evidence seems so true, Jacob, though, going back to Jacob, was shaken by what he saw and he heard, and he lost confidence and was no longer persuaded for some reason that God was able. He, knowing what God had already done for Abraham, should have responded like Abraham responded, but he didn't. He immediately, when he was presented with that coat that was ripped up and dipped in goat's blood, immediately allowed fear and doubt and unbelief to grip his heart, and he began to weep. And he made a confession concerning himself even into his old age. But I want to keep elaborating on this. Watch this. Let's look at Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41 and beginning at verse 34. Genesis chapter 41 and beginning at verse 34. Hallelujah. It says, Then the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had predicted. The famine also struck all the surrounding countries, but throughout Egypt there was plenty of food. Eventually, however, the famine spread through the land of Egypt as well. And when the people cried out to Pharaoh for food, he told them, "Go to Joseph and do whatever he tells you." So with severe famine everywhere, Joseph opened up the storehouses and distributed grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout the land of Egypt. And people from all around came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe throughout the world. Now let's look at chapter 42, beginning at verse 1 of Genesis. Then Jacob heard. Now, you know, again, we're still talking about Jacob. Amen, Kathy, and pray for Lori tonight. Look, let's look at verse 42, verse 1 of chapter 42. When Jacob heard that grain was available in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why are you standing around looking at one another? I've heard there's grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy enough grain to keep us alive. Otherwise, we're going to die." That is so good. Jacob was so shaken by the circumstance. Again, remember that he lost his son, or he thought he had. He had thought he had lost his son. So it's shaken his faith so bad that now they're caught in a famine, and look at what his response is. Look at what his response is. We have to go to the, now we got to go down, which is exactly right. You know, when the word of God, you know, oftentimes when you're reading the Bible, it'll say go up to Jerusalem. But whenever it's talking about going to a lesser, go down to Jerusalem. And that's exactly what they were doing. And that's exactly what the author, God breathed, wanted us to understand. He went to the old system, the system of the world, to try to get himself out of famine. Jacob allowed that situation to steal his confidence in God's promise to him. He went to the world to find the answer. He found himself in a famine. Listen, he found himself in a famine, and instead of knowing and responding properly, remember the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Remember, he had a response he could have gave. Didn't matter that famine showed up. Let's look at Genesis 26. Remember the God. Now we're going to look at Isaac. Genesis 26 and verse 1. I pray this is making sense to you. Genesis 26 and verse 1. Listen to what the Bible said here. We're going to read verse 1 through 3. A severe famine now struck the land, as had happened before in Abraham's time. Remember, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. So Isaac moved to Gerar, where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Don't go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. Live here as a foreigner in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. I hereby confirm that I will give you all these lands to you and your descendants." Remember, Isaac's descendant was Jacob. "Just as I solemnly promised Abraham, your father." Now, let's look at Genesis 26 and verse 12. We're going to read 12 through 14. So remember, there's a severe famine going on. God said, "Don't go down. Trust me. Don't go down, go up. Don't go down, go up. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith." Don't go down there. Don't, just because it's looking slim, just because it's not looking good, just because things are getting tight, just because the enemy's trying to lie to you, you're not of this world. You're in it, but you're not of it. Don't go down. Don't go to the world system. Don't forget about where you come from. Don't forget in whom you believe. Don't forget that you're persuaded that he's able to keep that which you have committed unto him against that day. Remember, you're a giver. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of the Most High God. Hallelujah. You don't have to do what what the world does, and we don't respond like the world responds. And then so look, so there was a huge famine, but God told Isaac, as I was with Abraham, so shall I be with you. And he said, I've made Abraham a promise. There was a famine in his day too. And so there's a famine in your day. And so the same thing he did, I want you to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me, and I'll direct your path. I'll take care of you. I'm a rewarder to them that diligently seek me. But don't do it the world's way. Do it my way. So Isaac did that. So there was a huge famine. And now let's look at what he did. Verse 12. And Isaac planted his crops that year. He harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. He became a very rich man, and his wealth continued to grow. He acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle, and servants, the Philistines became jealous of him. That's awesome. That's awesome. So Jacob lost his confidence in God because he ended up going to Egypt like everybody else, and he went back into the world. That's what he told his son. He goes, why are we standing around here? Why don't you go down to Egypt? Because I heard they got grain down there. They got wheat down there. And he goes, otherwise, we're going to die. Look at where his confidence has gone. What happened to the promise of Abraham? What happened to the promise of Isaac? It was still there, but because of the circumstance that was presented and how Jacob received it, and immediately went down and got in fear, doubt, and unbelief, then this was the cycle of Jacob's life. He just kept down and down and down. So he didn't make the right confession. He allowed the enemy to make him believe that God was not faithful to his promise. Now let's look at Romans. I'm going to read this out of the King James Version. Romans chapter 20 and Romans chapter 4, excuse me, verse 20 and 21. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21 in the King James Version. It says, this is talking about Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being, listen to this, fully persuaded, that's what we're talking about tonight, that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Hallelujah. I'm going to read that again. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Now, and so Jacob could have believed God concerning the promise, his promised Joseph, like Abraham did. So let me sort of recap. Amen. Amen, Brother Corey. Good to see you. So let me, again, Jacob, remember Abraham had a son in his old age. Jacob had a son in his old age. Abraham believed God, and it was as if he received Isaac back from the dead. When Jacob was presented with that coat that was dipped in goat's blood, that was shredded, instead of making the standing on the promise of God like Abraham did, fully persuaded that even if he is his promise did die, that God was going to bring that promise back to life by his own power. Fully persuaded that the God he served was able to keep the promise that he had made him. And instead of doing that, Jacob said, he's dead. It's over. You know, I'm just going to just forget it. And he lost his confidence in the promise of God concerning his life. Now look at this. When we went and when there was a huge famine in the land, instead of saying, no, we have a promise from God. God said not to go down to Egypt, but that we should sow in the time of famine, and we're going to receive 30, 60, 100 fold in the same year on what we sowed. We don't have to go to the world system, but he didn't do that because of he continued to stay in that negative. He believed that lie that the enemy was bringing before him. He continued to go downward and to spiral downward because he wasn't operating in faith. He was operating in the natural. And then so he was susceptible to the lie of the enemy. And he didn't believe in God who promised him. So, but and I want to say this, but remember the story, because now remember, I'm bringing this from another view. We always talk about Joseph, but I'm talking about Jacob. What would have happened? So in other words, the world could have came to Jacob, but because of the way that Jacob was in doubt, in fear, in unbelief, look at what happened. And so what I want to show you, even in through all of this, because someone may be saying, man, you know, I've been in fear and I've allowed this situation to get me into an area where I feel like I've spiraled out of control. If that's the case, this is why this story is so powerful. This is why this story is so powerful. Look at what it says in the Word of God, that even in this story, when Jacob allowed things to spiral because he was believing that lie that was presented in front of him and not trusting in promising, keeping his eyes on the promise and eyes on the one who made him that promise. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says what the enemy meant for evil, God turned around for good to save much people alive. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you today, realize that, man, that situation got me shook a little bit, but now because of this word has come and it's caused me to see, I now fully am aware and persuaded that, man, God made a promise to me. He's not man that he should lie, nor son of man that he should repent. If he said it, will he not do it? Yes, he will. He's the God of yes and amen. Every promise in the book is yours. It's mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. You can trust in the Lord. He that has promised you is faithful. God hasn't changed his mind. All he's wanting to know is, are you persuaded that he's able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that day? Remember, God is the God of Abraham. God is the God of Isaac. And God is the God of Jacob. And you may say, well, that's good for them, but what about me? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. Hallelujah. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. That's good news. Amen, Sister Connie. So it's not just, he's not just the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's the God of Connie and Sandy and Eric and Corey and James and Cheryl and Louisa and Sam and Jenny and all everybody that's watching. He's your God. I said, he's your God. And so the thing is again, the enemy's going to try to come and present you with something. Make sure that the first thing you do is respond by the promise given you. Again, God's not man that he should lie, nor son of man that he should repent. If he said it, will he not do it? Yes, he will do it. And God's no respecter of persons. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you. The Old Testament is in types and shadows for what the New Testament, this in our day, is brought into our reality. And so that's what I wanted to share with you tonight. And I'm going to close with this, Hebrews chapter 12. Like I said, my mom preached this powerful message about being surrounded or encompassed. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the right, in the place of honor beside God's throne. Now, think about that. We are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. The reason why I went through and talked about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is because they are part of that great cloud that have already gone before us. And God has given us this word, not so that we would be in fear, doubt, and unbelief, that so that you would read these stories and your faith would come alive. God did it. God did it for them. He's going to do it for you. And God is your story. He's going to come through. You're a masterpiece and a best-selling novel written by the hand of God. And God's books always have happy endings. Amen. And that's you and that's me. And so I wanted to talk to you again tonight about being fully persuaded that no matter what lie the enemy's trying to get you to believe, no matter how real it seems, he could be showing you a robe with blood dripping from it like was brought to Jacob. But just because you're presented with facts doesn't mean it's true. You stand on the promise of God for your life, and God will come through for you. Be persuaded tonight that God is able to keep that which you have committed unto him against that day. He's going to do it for you. God bless you tonight. And we're going to see. You're welcome, Brother Corey. Amen, Sister Connie. Go ahead and dance. Hallelujah. Same God, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He never changes. He always gives good things. Amen. Any questions tonight or prayer requests? I'm going to pray for Terry's move. We're going to pray for Lori tonight. Any other prayer requests or questions that you would have, even concerning this message that we brought to you tonight? And I'm so thankful for everybody that is watching. And again, if you haven't done it already, please like and share. Pray this will bless a lot of people tonight, that they would be encouraged no matter what situation that they are going through, that God is faithful. Amen. He that promised you is faithful, and he'll perform it. He watches over his word to perform it. Amen, Sister Connie, we're praying for you. Father, right now we pray for Sister Connie, asking strength to her body, clarity to her mind. I thank you, Lord, that she's received your word with joy, and that word is going to produce fruit, and fruit that remains 30, 60, and 100-fold. I thank you, Lord, that you're just your hand of protection is upon her. Your hedge of protection is around her. I thank you for health and wholeness and prosperity in every area of her life in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you for Lori, God, and I call out to her name to you today. And God, you're there just as much as you are here tonight. And I just rebuke every lie of the enemy. Every attack of the enemy, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Devil, the Lord rebuke you. I thank you for healing and wholeness in every area of Lori's body. I thank you, Lord, that her mind, washed by the water of the Word of God, would just be clear. And God, that your wisdom would just overwhelm her, God, from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. God, every diagnosis, every attack of the devil would be just thwarted in the mighty name of Jesus. By your stripes, she was healed. By your stripes, Jesus, she was healed. And we thank you, Lord. We send your word and you healed her. God, I thank you that healing is the children's bread and you're touching her even now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for what you have done in Terry and Brad's life. I thank you, Lord, that for the good news and the continual good news. I thank you, Lord, that you're working all things together for their good because they love you and they're called according to your purpose. I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing them closer. I thank you, Lord, for a smooth transition. I thank you, Lord, for God, that you're going to work things in their favor. And God, it's just going to be a great time as they continue to walk forward in their calling. And so we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Praise God, Brother Eric. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Oh, Pastor Tyrell Lipsy paralyzed on the left side and a fracture skull. Oh, goodness. Father, we thank you for Pastor Tyrell Lipsy. God, that you, God, are just stretched, like out of Acts chapter 4, stretch forth your healing hand, Lord Jesus, and touch that man of God where he is. I pray, God, that you mend that fractured skull, and I speak life back to the paralysis of that body. Hallelujah. Thank you for it, God. Thank you for it, Lord. Raise him up. Raise him up, God, I pray, in the mighty name of Jesus, by your powerful, mighty right hand. And thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to pray, and that we know that when we pray, you hear us and you will answer us. Thank you for it, Lord. By your stripes, Jesus, he was healed. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for Angie, for her love for you. I thank you, Lord, that again, healing is the children's bread. I speak to that body and command it to line up right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, by your stripes, Lord. She was healed. Healing is the children's bread. Receive it now. Receive it now from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. God, I speak strength to that body. I rebuke every bit of sickness that would try to come, any doctor's diagnosis, any disease. I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Devil, the Lord rebuke you. It's illegal for you to move on the body of a son or daughter of the Most High God. For surely you have taken away all our sicknesses and all our diseases. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Be healed in your body, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God, I thank you that, Lord, just like you did for Isaac in the year of famine, God, for Brother Eric, in the year of famine, he sowed, and in that same year reaped 100-fold. Now, God, Eric is a giver, and he believes fully in you. And that's what you said. He that would come to me must first believe that I am, and I'm a rewarder of them that diligently seek after you. So, Lord, I thank you now that you are moving. And, God, I call in the harvest from every seed, God, that has been planted by Eric into your kingdom. God, that he would reap in this season 100-fold. God, that he would begin to see the return now for all that he has invested in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, I thank you for financial breakthrough. I thank you, Father, that you're opening up a career. God, that is just going to, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. That as he continues to incline his ear towards the heartbeat of his God, Lord, that you are speaking him, and from behind he'll hear the word of the Lord saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And I thank you, Lord, that you're walking him into good things and not evil, because you have a future and a hope for him, and because you're a good, good father. So we give you all the praise and glory for it now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Sister Jessica, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for Sister Jessica. I thank you, Lord, that you're moving on her behalf. Lord, the Bible says you do all things well, and we know that. And so, Lord, you see each and every one of us. Your eyes are going to and fro throughout the earth, looking for someone that is standing upright before you so that you can show yourself strong on their behalf. And Father, I thank you that you're showing yourself strong now on behalf of Jessica, on behalf of all those, God, that are watching this broadcast. Lord, that we're going to see a mighty move of God. Hallelujah. Lord, just like it said, Lord, in Isaac's day, that you blessed him so abundantly that the Philistines envied him and his family. And Lord, we know that according to your word, Isaiah 8:18, you have raised us up to be signs and wonders, us and our children in the earth. And I thank you, Lord, for evidence in the lives of believers, that the world would look at our lives and be in envy and want to serve the God that we serve. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, I thank you for the incoming blessing from the north, the south, the west, the east, to your people, your believers, Lord, that are fully persuaded that you are able. We're not shaken by our temporary circumstance, but we're strengthened by it, and we give you glory in the middle of it. Lord, you're going to do it. You're able, and we believe you, and we're fully persuaded in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys are great. All of us are in agreement. The Bible says we're when we come together concerning anything on earth, that it will be done of our Father in heaven. So I'm looking forward to great testimonies in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Any questions or any other things you want to comment on before we leave the broadcast tonight? And thank you for your almost 3,000 increases come in since Sunday in 3 days. Praise the Lord. And you know, and again, we all got that word from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That in 3 days, we're going to see a mighty, mighty, mighty miracle from the Lord. And so we're already seeing it. Amen. Through obedience. And you walk, and the Bible says, stand and see the salvation of the Lord. And there was such an abundance in the Valley of Blessing that everybody was walking around just picking up blessing, 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 blessing everywhere. And as it is for my mom, as she posts, so shall it be for you. Grab onto it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Pat, amen. Amen. God's no respecter of persons. Anything, anybody else before we praise the Lord? Hallelujah, Brother Eric. Amen. Just keep worshiping him. It's done in Jesus' name. That's how you loose it. That's how you loose it. I'm persuaded that right in the middle of it, I'm persuaded that God's able. I'm persuaded that he's able. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I'm going to just pray the Lord blessing over you. I'm going to encourage you to read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. You know, we read out of Galatians 3, that's your portion. That's your portion. So I would just start calling it in. Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14. I would pray, I would read that every day and say, God, I thank you. I thank you that this is my portion as Abraham's seed. Amen. You're above and not beneath. You're the head and not always above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. Blessed coming in and blessed going out. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Everything that you touch will be blessed, and God will continue to increase you more and more. Amen. No sickness in your body, anything like that. The blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow to it is yours as a son and daughter of the Most High God. So we love you tonight, and go forward in your limitless life. God's going to do exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ever ask or think. Just begin to trust in the Lord in a greater measure. Amen. Be persuaded that he's going to do it, because he's a God that never fails, and he won't fail you either. We love you so much. Have a blessed night. We'll see you next Tuesday, Lord willing, if he doesn't come. Amen. God bless. Have a great night.